What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founder's version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. I'm starting off tonight with something I wrote about the current situation in my life. I want to share it with you guys. I love it when they walk across my leg at night. I rather wish they wouldn't eat the bedclothes, of course. The occasional finger bite is something I definitely won't miss. The stealing of food from my plate is, well, not so bad, though. When they run away with head held high because their plunder's as tall as they are, it's truly a sight to see. And, oh, when their soulful eyes look up at me, wanting just a little bit, just a tiny bit of whatever it is that I happen to have that they want, my heart melts. People say they picked up the smell of our pets. They don't want us around. They spray Lysol when we enter stores, make remarks not quite under their breath, and in many ways act quite rude. Not everyone treats us that way, but fair enough. We know the odor must really be there. We don't smell it, but, you know, the mean ones make me angry, but the nice ones make me feel ashamed. I don't like to be found offensive by people around me. For the rude ones, well, a part of me wants to be rude right back. You know, I think I hate the artificial perfume some people wear at least as much as the people that wear them hate to smell a rat that follows me. But we plan to move. Probably end up having the Humane Society kill off all the pets we've spent the last 2 years feeding and loving and enjoying. These little creatures that have led us into their lives. Now we'll betray him because we don't have the strength to stand up for him anymore. Just like the dogs, we had to give up about 10 years ago because we had this little tendency of eating cats. Animals, you know, animals do what's natural for them. Our rats eat things, clothing, wires, occasionally a finger or toe. They leave behind droppings. They micturate on our clothing. They generally keep us from having a normal life. So we'll get rid of them. We'll throw out most of our old furniture and clothing and get all new, try to start new, because, and it'll seem a relief because we just can't go on this way. We don't have the resources or the stamina, but it still feels to me like a betrayal. All these little creatures want is a chance to live. We've done the best we could to keep them with us. They've given us so much love, so many wonderful memories as we watch them play. I love it when they walk across my leg at night. Mike, you're on.
Chuck, tonight we're going to welcome Mark Estern in Burlington, Vermont, and Doug Dream from Los Angeles. And so by the miracle of electricity, we are coming to you tonight from Vancouver, Canada, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Duluth, Minnesota, Burlington, Vermont, and Los Angeles, California, known to all as the former home of the Ambassador Hotel, where they killed democracy, as well as the former home of the Hollywood Star Lanes, where they filmed The Big Lebowski. It's again time for the New American Dream Radio Show, the American Russian novel All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Hour. We have the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra. Some of those who have spoken the truth are no longer here. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table sit empty. Their relatives have sent them to Siberia simply by a roll of their eyes. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink and listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice. The new American dream. What is our dream? Pie in the sky? Cut military spending. Get ROTC out of the high schools and colleges. Killing should not be a subject of study. Close the School of the Americas. Close the U.S. military bases in all other countries. Spend massive tax dollars on schools, housing, employment in the poor areas of the United States, cities, rural. Knowing that any people that claims to be Christian or religious or even human must reverse spending on killing and put it into good things for people. Abolish the CIA. Investigate the CIA, FBI fully. Find out what they've been up to over the years and reevaluate any further activity. Release nonviolent drug offender prisons. Demolish a couple of prisons. It's the right thing to do. Open the borders, north, south, east, west. Raise the minimum wage. Stop logging on public lands. Allow citizens some way to opt out of paying taxes for any military activity. Outlaw assault weapons. Stop factory farming. Provide universal health care. Something to break up the political monopoly held by Democrat and Republican parties. Something also to encourage real media diversity. Also, let the public know what the government knows or does not know about UFOs. Proceed confidently into the coming century, not as a bandit criminal nation, but as a nation determined to carry out the real American dream. You know, if there were a real Democratic Party in the United States with real people and real courage, guts, honor, all these points would not seem such a far-out agenda. And they would also want to repeal and repent the so-called drug war, and they would not. They would want to investigate the many things that Americans doubt about their country, the conspiracies, that is. And they would care, really care about the poor. And that example would spread through the country, and this would not. We would not be such stupid idiots anymore. This is our dream. We are Americans. It's an amazing time to be alive. Back in 2001, we survived Kate Smith on the radio. We survived Bush, though not all of us. Now we're trying to survive Obama. Not all of us will. It's morning. Time to wake up. There are no longer any questions we cannot ask. Nothing about our country we are not allowed to know. We are Americans. This is our country. Today we take it back from the CIA, the military, the bosses, the Warren Commission, Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, the 9/11 Commission, Barack Obama. Our children will study lies no more. Did George W. Bush, his father's friends, actually steal the elections of 2000 and 2004? And if they did that, why would they ever stop at anything? Just asking. Did George Bush, Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, Condoleezza Rice, John Ashcroft, Paul Wolfowitz, Colin Powell conspire to commit murder and treason in the 9/11 attacks in order to again be able to lie about anthrax, uranium, and WMD and torture in order to attack Iraq and make millions, billions of dollars? We want to know. We need to know. We deserve to know. We want to know. We deserve to know who killed Bobby, Martin, JFK, Wellstone. Did we land on the moon? Is Bigfoot real? We can ask any question we want. How about UFOs? There are no wrong questions. No secrets in anyone's land of the free. How do we explain to our children how the war on drugs goes with this buzz for you? Prisons, poverty, trees, wind power, we can talk about all of it because we are Americans. We are not the subjects of the FBI or CIA or the U.S. Army or Wall Street. We do not torture, kill children, bomb, rape, mutilate. We are Americans. We are Americans. Why is Leonard Peltier in prison? Why did we fund death squads in El Salvador? We overthrew elected governments in Chile, Iran, Guatemala. Why? We deserve to know. We need to know. We have to know so that we may tell the world we are Americans. Don't be afraid to be a real American. Remember, they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid.
What if we choose a world and future that had no war? What if we had a world where progress meant the fulfillment of our human needs for everyone, everywhere? What if we had a world where we find the teachings and great prophets of all religions have been our friend and mentor all along and not our foe? What if we had a world where the air is fresh and invigorating, the water pure and sparkling, and the skies clean and blue? What if the earth is untainted, clean and toxic-free from sea to shining sea? What if the food we eat nourishes, cleanses, and heals us from all ailments and there is no sickness and disease anymore? What if we enlightened ourselves about God as the greatest enlightenment of all? What if we make money and prosperity the way of life for every human being on the planet to unfold and evolve our highest and greatest potential together? What if we had a world where our compassion and humanity to all life on Earth is the key to opening the door to heaven and Earth? What if we find that our openness and unity with all life and each other is our natural high? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
This here, Elmer Fudd, chairman of Democratic Party. Americans about to elect new president. It will either be a crazy Republican or a crazy CIA agent president. There will be liberals and progressives just screaming and howling about how we should elect the CIA president again. They will say he did not bomb Afghanistan or use drones to kill people, but he did. They would tell us he did not protect the real perpetrators of 9/11, but he did. They will say you are a crazy conspiracy theorist. Think that. They will say, don't worry. Don't worry about what really happened. They would say, vote for the Democratic Party, because they are full of people. They're crazy. Remember, we approach the election season. They are good people. All good people should vote for liberals and progressive because, well, don't worry about any conspiracy theories. Don't worry about what really happened. Don't worry. We're the Democratic Party.
In some serious, actual, real, authentic journalism reporting stuff, CBS News reports with one of their reporters that the banned flight list has doubled in recent years to 21,000 people because of their threat to national security. Oh, my. Also reported was the banned walking list, now at 35,109. The banned sitting list, remains at 19,412. The band digging up the backyard with a wooden spoon to find your old high school diary list is at 14,317. And the band turning right during a red light onto any street named Honeycomb Lane is now at 15,996. The band eating zucchini while watching elephants in a Midwestern zoo is now at 17,000, a jump from 16,400 in December, an increase of 0.7%, which was an increase of 0.8% from the prior number of 15,123.
I'm pleased to welcome Doug Drame back to the New American Dream Radio Show. I'm going to remind you a little bit of who he is. He was born in Indiana in 1943 and started publishing in the late 60s. He writes all kinds of different things. And what I like, he said he believes poetry as well as all art must be like axes in the forest of society's insanity. That pretty well sums things up, I think. Doug, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going, Chuck?
Real well, real well. How are you?
Good, good.
In that case, I'm going to turn you loose. Just tell us what you have to say. Read us some poems, and I'll butt in if I feel like I have to.
Okay, Chuck. Thanks a lot. Okay, I have several. I don't know whether I have time to get them in or not, but I'll give you a little intro to each of them before I read them. The first one is called Pretending the Apple Pie is Fresh, and it's about the kind of the demise of the country and the continual demise of the country. And anyway, here it is. It's called Pretending the Apple Pie is Fresh. Pretending what can only be pretended in the hollow cave of the diseased mind, and laughing like a crater on the moon, dead and deep and treacherous, warmongers and whoremongers, dine with presidents and kings on lavish tables, meteors and broken stars are buried beneath the junkyards of the world, and dignity is something sold on back streets and in dark crevices, no matter how often flowers wither and die in the presence of politicians, no matter what the earth is destined to spew out of its bowels, no matter what price is a death of innocence. The horror continues unchecked by the appointed and elected guardians of society. The legions march heads up past the viewing stand where the decked-out dignitaries are seated with chests full of medals, wearing $1,000 rings, their wives smiling beside them like vampy Vegas whores. The next one is called A Poem for a Political Poet. And it's about a poet that I know that writes nothing but political poetry and thinks there's some solution and some kind of political way of changing things. I don't believe that, and anyway, this is a poem about that. Poem for a Political Poet. What honor is there that the lie creates idols of death? Why hang the grave clothes of the old man on the new man? And from where, brother poet, does your new man emerge? Ideas? Concepts of a cultural, global, political revolution? Politics is a gruesome lie. Politics is a fixation of the spirit. Politics is an affliction of the mind. Politics is the devil's street game. I see the rage in your face. I am grounded with the brilliant rage of your poems into the sense of your sensibilities. Your language has always been my language. Your words, I know, from the very blood of my soul. Often we react to the oppressor with stupidity. When we don't acknowledge that stupidity, it becomes detrimental, and the psychotic barbarians resume their dance in praise of the dying atmosphere, as once intelligent men and women pay homage to dictators, liars, butchers, who promise equality, who promise liberation, men who would cut the throats of your children for an idea, would cut the throats of your children for a nickel, men whose souls rot and stink with the hatred of innocence and regenerated life, men who collectively tortured, enslaved, and murdered millions upon millions of people, men who would pour wax over poets and burn them as candles in the bloody moonlight. Okay, the next one is called The American Agenda, kind of self-explanatory. Put the thing inside the box. It's too disgusting to live outside in open view. I see its bigot teeth dripping blood. I smell its rancid breath. I hear its grabbled demon growl. The horror of its greed, which is bombing innocent children. Put that thing inside the box. Put a stake through the box. Then burn the box with flamethrowers and Exxon gasoline and spread the ashes around Custer's fucking tomb. The next one is about runaways in this country, children that leave their homes because of abuse and what happens to them. This is called Blowing Tiny Bubbles in the American Dream. The mummies are speaking through CAT scans and X-rays, blowing rivers of ether. The ozone layer blows holes of poisonous gas through you and me. The government blows up men and women and their children because the feds don't like the way they think. Tonight, a 15-year-old starving runaway blows her first trick for a hamburger and a milkshake in the parking lot at McDonald's. The next one is called Thoreau and the Indians, after David Henry Thoreau, and I have some Indian blood, and I write a lot of poems about Indians, so I don't publish that many of them, but here's one that has been published before. It's called Thoreau and the Indians. Thoreau called them savages from the English and French. They say he didn't really mean anything by it, that was just a common term used to identify the indigenous people of his continent, implemented by the Europeans who had invaded it. But I wonder if anyone back then ever called a spade a spade. Did anyone ever challenge this and other white supremacy thinking written in his masterpiece Walden? Did anyone ever get up in Henry Davis' hairy mug and lecture him on the ignorance of such a terminology expressed toward an entire race of people? Did Ralph Waldo Emerson love him enough as a friend to ever point out the obvious blind spot in Thoreau's pristine contemplation of justice and social disobedience? Okay, I don't know how much time I have left. This one is called After a Strange Conversation with a Member of Congress, which I had about 10 years ago and found it very bizarre. Anyway, it's After a Strange Conversation with a Member of Congress. You give me your schedule, and I'll give you mine, and we'll stand on the hill overlooking the concentration camp. You born without feet under the American flag in your child-molesting grandfather's house in East Jersey. Hair like insane human meat, shrieking in the hell of pity. The shadows, dank, reeking, of the history of other feetless souls. You say you read Kafka and the Bible and walked on burning coals. It's a way to cope lying to yourself, but everyone knows you ain't got no feet.
Doug, that's probably about it for the poems.
Okay.
I have one question for you that
sure.
came along while you were reading one of the earlier poems. You said that you don't believe that poetry can make changes, or I don't know. Can you expand on that?
I don't think I said that. What I said was I don't think politics can change anything.
Okay.
I think
can
the poetry
change politics?
Is insane. And I don't think that we have, I mean, we've been here, I don't know how many years on the earth as beings, you know. Some say what, it's 12,000 years, some say a million years. And we haven't seemed to have gotten it down right yet. We continue, you know, to war, we continue to betray, we continue to do these insane things to each other. We're continuing to be, we torture each other. It's a horrible world if you look at it from just a material point of view. And I don't think that politics, that can change anything.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. I heard you wrong.
Okay.
Doug, are you going to be appearing anywhere that you would like to tell people about before we close out?
No, not that I know of. There may be a reading coming up here in Portland, in Oregon, in about 3 or 4 months, but that's really not the definite, so I don't really want to say anything about that yet.
Okay.
So, no.
Well, then, I hope you'll come back and read for us again.
Well, I sure will.
Always enjoy having you here, and, we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, Chuck, you take care.
Thank you. Good night.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American Founders version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
And now we bring you the New American Dream Masterpiece Classic Playhouse Theater Something Something. Real voices. With a message you will not hear on the CBS Nightly News. Here's George Carlin. God bless America. Once again, respectfully, I say to myself, what the beep does that mean? God bless America? Is that a request? Is that a demand? Is it a suggestion? Politicians say it at the end of every speech, as if it were some sort of verbal tick they can't get rid of. God bless you and God bless America. God bless you and God bless America. I guess they figure if they leave it out, someone's going to think they're bad American. Let me tell you a little secret about God, folks. God does not give a flying fuck about America. Okay. He doesn't care. He never cared about this country. He never has. He never will. He doesn't care about this country any more than he cares about Mongolia, Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, the Suez Canal, or the North Pole. He simply doesn't care, okay? He doesn't care. Listen, there are 200 countries in the world now. Do these people honestly think God is sitting around picking out favorites? Why would he do that? Why would God have a favorite country? Why would it be America out of all the countries? Because you have the most money? He likes the national anthem? Maybe it's because he heard we have 18 delicious flavors of classic rice-a-roni. It's delusional thinking. America is not alone with this sort of delusion. Military cemeteries around the world are packed with brainwashed dead soldiers who were convinced God was on their side. America prays for God to destroy our enemies. Our enemies pray for God to destroy us. somebody's going to be disappointed. Somebody is wasting their fucking time. Could it be everyone? No, no. People want to say, God bless America. That's their business. I don't care. But here's what I don't understand. If they say, God bless America, presumably they believe in God. And if they do, they must have heard God loved everyone. That's what he said. He loved everyone and loved them equally. So why would these people ask God to do something that went against his own teaching? You know what these God bless America people ought to do? They ought to check with that Jesus fellow they're so crazy about. They're always talking about what would Jesus do. They don't want to know so they can do it. They just want to know so they can tell other people to do it. I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. I'll tell you what Jesus would have done. He would have gone up on the top of the Empire State Building and said, God bless everyone around the world forever and ever till the end of time. That's what Jesus would have done. And that's what these people should do, or else they should admit that God bless America is really just some sort of an empty slogan with no real meaning except for something vague like, good luck. Good luck, America. You're on your own. A little bit closer to the truth.
Now I'd like to welcome our second guest, Mark Estrin. Mark Estrin comes to us from Vermont. He's an American writer and a political activist. He's written a lot of fiction. He's Insect Dreams, The Education of Arnold Hitler, Gollum Song, The Lamentations of Julius Marantz, The Annotated Nose, Skulk, The Good Doctor Guillotine, When the Gods Come Home to Roost, Simsum, and he's working on The Prison Notebooks of Alan Krieger, and King Shall Be His Nursing Fathers. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I am, Mike.
How you doing?
Hey, Mike?
Yeah, how are you doing? You can you hear me?
Yeah, and I'm okay with you? You can hear me?
You're coming in real good. Sometimes I either talk too softly or something doesn't work, but I can hear you great.
Okay, we're good.
What? You said before that maybe you weren't feeling so good. You're doing better now?
Yeah, that's I was in the hospital for a month with meningitis, and that's a fairly life-threatening situation. But I'm doing much better, and just have to get my balance back 100% and my hearing back 100%, getting stronger. And I when I first got out of the hospital, I couldn't read and I couldn't write. But now I can do those things, and so basically back to normal. Get tired, but
that's some serious stuff. Welcome back. I hope you keep.
Yeah, well,
better.
It was a nice experience of a totalitarian institution. You know, I know about them in history, and I know about them in theory. But to actually be imprisoned in a particular institution, who is whose role is to help you. And yet, like any total institution, it was interesting to see how imprisoned they were in the systems, hospital systems that don't communicate with each other and all of that. And, everybody was pulling rank on the lowest of the low, which is the patient. So I am alive, and I might not have been for that, and I'm grateful for that. But it was very interesting to live in that particular concentration camp.
Do I hear a novel? Are you hear a nonfiction work coming out of this?
No. A lot of people have asked me, and I don't feel called in the least to write about this, at least at the present time. I have, written a lot about doctors and the chutzpah and kind of arrogance and Faustian bargain of doctors, and especially plastic surgeons, and several of the novels have plastic surgeons in them. And I have a long background in science, so I have a fairly deep critique of scientific thinking, which can see itself as the be-all and end-all, and that's pretty limiting. But that's one. That's why I'm a fiction writer, because I can get in my punches like that.
When did you start to write? Was it the last 10 years or 20 or 30?
I started writing, I guess, 12 years ago, and hit pretty soon with Insect Dreams. And so then and being a published writer right after you start writing is a kind of well-lubricated path to writing more, because you have the feeling that people will actually read what you write. And what 10 novels out there now. And this
you have had you've had success writing social justice or protest novels or whatever. How did you pull that off?
Well, I don't know. You know, it depends upon what you mean by success. And I think, you know, I wanted to ask you about that too, because if you take a novel like Skulk, which was written specifically to make an end run around the censorship concerning 9/11 issues. And it's a 9/11 comic novel. My own regular publisher wouldn't publish it. I did find a publisher who would do it, Progressive Press. And so that came out. But I don't know that it's made any difference. I mean, I have, you know, my friends have read it, and their friends have read it. But the whole question of using fiction to achieve some kind of political progress is what I wanted to share with you about, you know, in this talk, because you do the same thing. Of course, you have the show, the radio show, and that's, I don't know if you decided to do that because you felt that the novels didn't have enough outreach or grab. Is that something behind doing the show, Mike?
Well, I'm hesitating. I don't know why I started the radio show. I think I just wanted to talk, and how we could pull it off. And but you know, the novels I keep writing, but I know I haven't done much with as far as, you know, finding a readership. But that's, you know, whatever. I'll just keep trying. But you seemed like you had really, you know, you had a real publisher. I mean, you had, and you've, I mean, you've written that, you know, you've just, I just think it's really cool. I heard an interview you did one time. You said the way you started your writing was you came up with maybe a sentence or a line that was kind of abstract, and you built the novel around that. Is that how you start?
Well, it actually is different for each of the novels. That's certainly one way. I have a rather big novel called The Education of Arnold Hitler, and that started just because out of nowhere I was driving with my wife, and I turned to her and I said, "Wouldn't it be funny if your name were Arnold Hitler?" And she said, "Yes," and that was it. You know, that was, and I just started with that and tried to figure out what would happen to somebody if his name was Arnold Hitler. And he was a very nice guy and exactly the opposite, and, you know, all kinds of political activities on his part that were, you know, had nothing to do with Nazism or against Nazism. What happens if a guy like that comes up against some neo-Nazis, all of that. So you can start from something as little as that, but for instance, Insect Dreams, I had the whole thing in my head before I started it, stealing Kafka's cockroach and bringing him to the United States and ending with him as the risk management consultant to the Manhattan Project, being able to do a big research project on the bomb, the development of the bomb, and all of that. I'm a member of Vermonters Against the Death Penalty. And I wanted to write a novel about the death penalty, but I thought it would be better to go right to the root of using the state as a killing device. So I wrote a novel called The Good Dr. Guillotin about the first use of the guillotine in the French Revolution. I spent 6 months studying the French Revolution. It was terrific. I learned tons. And then, one is confronted with this idea of creating a machine to create death. And that's what we do. And I think the connections are very clear, and I think it's much more effective than just another rant or, you know, good treatment like the Green Line or whatever it was about people on death row and all of that. So I try to write around the edges of things and focus in towards the center. And sometimes it's a crazy phrase, and sometimes it's a title, and sometimes it's an idea. But I don't have a formula for it. Sorry. In fact, I was writing this other book. It was actually a book about Tchaikovsky's corpse, which is an interesting story. And the main character from Golem Song ran in and got in front of the line. So I'm halfway through the Tchaikovsky book, and I wrote this whole book called The Prison Diaries of Alan Krieger, Terrorist, when I hadn't meant to. But he's such a voluble character that he just wouldn't go away until I got rid of him.
It's fun to write, isn't it?
How do you conceive and do your books?
Oh, I don't know. I just have notes that I write when I'm driving, and then I'll pretty soon have a pocket full of notes, and then I try and put it together. But I don't know. What are you working on now?
Oh, now I'm working on the Tchaikovsky book. I finished Alan Krieger, Terrorist, and I sent it out to the guy who's published the last three of my books, and I expect he'll do it. He makes very, very beautiful books. And I don't know who's going to do Tchaikovsky, and in fact, it really would be an excellent multimedia book because it's the thoughts of the corpse of Tchaikovsky about class issues and homosexuality I don't know if you know the story, but there's a mystery about Tchaikovsky's death, and he was a closeted fairy actually, and you know, would spend the time in aristocracy during the day and then at night go cruise the docks for 15-year-olds. So there's a lot of very contemporary stuff, and then there's all the music. So I think it would be really great to do a book where, an e-book where as he is thinking of music, you could actually click on the written music and hear it. And I'm thinking about trying that. Donna and I, my wife and I, just started a new press. We're feeling the freedom of the press from owning one. And so we're trying to publish, among other things, political fiction that wouldn't otherwise be published. Pretty exciting, this new technology.
Well, I would say that the duty of a writer, my opinion, is to challenge the social structure. And I would say that that's very tough to do, but I've found from a left perspective. But I think you are doing it, and I think it's just you should be congratulated. I think it's really cool. And
I'm doing it from a left perspective, that's true, but I'm not doing it from an agitprop left perspective. You know what I mean? I'm trying to attack stuff laterally, and it seems to me you can get a better hearing that way, beyond the choir.
You know, that's something I could take, learn from. You know, when I write, I just try and, I guess I try and shove the knife home and just try and make all the wrongs right. But I've been trying to find a way to do that, and maybe you found it.
Also has to do with how complex you want to make the characters. You know, if you have people that have the real contradictions that people have and the real ambivalences that people have, it somehow is more convincing than if you have somebody, it'd be hard to write a novel about Lenin, for instance, or just somebody who really had a clear and unadulterated vision at, you know, 150 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm. Could, we have to close pretty soon, but could you tell the people, again, something more about how to find your books, and if you want to say anything more about your new press, which I think is awesome, that takes a lot of guts. If you could tell us how to find your books, maybe... You know,
well, the books are all on, you know, they're in, the printed books are in bookstores, and if they're not there because they, you know, are several years old, they can, they're all in print, they can be ordered. Mark Estrin, E-S-T-R-I-N is my name. I have a website, I have a Facebook page, I have a blog, and, you know, they're on Amazon, and I love it because when they're used on Amazon, they're like 15 cents, and I've always been embarrassed to have a book that is selling for more than I would pay for a book, but I love the idea of buying one of my books for 15 cents from Amazon. Okay, shipping, but, you know, I have problems with Amazon, that's a problem. You know, they're not very nice to Julian Assange, for one thing, and putting all the small stores out of business, but that's how people buy books these days, and it's there. They're all on Kindle, or most of them are on Kindle. So that's how to get my books. Just look up E-S-T-R-I-N, and if you go to my Facebook page, or, no, I mean my web page, there are sort of plot summaries of all the books, and you can see which ones might interest you. The press is called Fomite, F-O-M-I-T-E. A fomite is a surface on which microorganisms can be transferred from one person to another. So like a stethoscope is a fomite, or a doctor's tie going from patient to patient. And our idea was that books are fomite, transmitting these microorganisms of thought from the author to the reader and between readers. So that's our little gag, our little medical in-joke. But we've got 18 authors now. We've got another 10 for this year, and it's really taking off sort of beyond our wildest dreams. And we've got now our first four manuscripts up on as e-books. And so we're doing printed POD books and e-books of literature, of fiction, poetry, and short stories, and the odd nonfiction books that come up that are just very exciting.
Well, thank you, Mark, for taking the time, and thank you also for all the work you do, and I hope you continue to get better and continue to keep writing.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about me. I'm all right.
Okay. I hope you come back on the show again soon, too.
Bye.
Okay, good night.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity, and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
Now, to honor America, please stand. Every one of you out there, washing your car, sitting on the toilet, polishing your coin collection, driving your car, sitting in the confessional, please stand. To honor the coming war with Iran, please remove your hat. To honor the coming shock and awe, awesome slaughter of a whole new batch of brownish people with high-tech weapons, paid for by single mothers with 9 jobs dropping off their children at daycare at 5 in the morning, please remove your shoes. To honor those journalists on our televisions, inside our radios, and in our newspapers, who worked diligently each day to bring us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, please remove your shirt. And now, ladies and gentlemen, to honor the wise and discerning and courageous leaders of our nation who will lead us in the coming slaughter of babies, infants, toddlers, young adults, mothers, fathers, and old people, please remove your pants, your dresses, and your underwear. Now, at this time, please turn to the gigantic American flag rippling in the breeze at the north end of the stadium. Turn around, bend over, and repeat after me. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above.
Well, it's been a long week at Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. Kate King is the daughter of Jack Robert King and Cherry King, and Johnny King was her brother. A while back, you might recall, you might not, that Jack Robert King took his online podcast radio show on the road. He rode a bus from Nebraska to Oregon. He said he was looking for Bigfoot. We'll find out about that later, perhaps. But he wasn't going to Oregon to see if he could have a Bigfoot experience only. He also wanted to find the truth about America. He just felt in his gut that he didn't know the whole story and he had to know. Well, he found out at least something, at least more than he knew before. And what we do know, that after he returned, well, a few weeks or months later, he and Cherry and Johnny were dead. And the radio show was no more. Little Kate saw the whole thing. She saw it all and she ran. She ran into the corn that afternoon and she lived. And she suffered and she survived and she learned. Well, today she's very, very angry and very, very beautiful and very, very capable and so very alive. Recently, we saw how Kate was arrested while drawing on the curb during the presidential motorcade. Well, she wasn't arrested. They attempted to arrest her. She punched the police man and the policewoman and got away into the crowd into the night. Well, the next morning, the TV ran the story because there was a television crew right there. And see, Jimmy Venus saw that the first thing when he went to open his gas station. And Jimmy Venus has an interest in Kate King because he knew her father. Well, that same night that she got into the fight with the police after she escaped and then was on the 10 o'clock news, she went to the bookstore to meet the friends who were supposed to have met her at the presidential parade. Kate knew she would die, but when? She worried. Passed down from her father, she looked at her fingernails and longed to rip at them. Maybe the pain would spread or another police bullet or a little brown Toyota without its lights on and she wasn't quite awake yet. Maybe now or in a minute or two. Each day might be her last, was her last. She walked fast through the crowd, now amid the people who had not seen the fight. She licked a cut lip, squeezed out her fear into her guitar case handle, weaved in and out, around, sweating, smiling wide. She grabbed the door handle for requisite books, cafe, and gifts, and held it for two white-haired professor types, then followed them in. Kate spotted her friends across the room, seated around a table in classical fiction. She smelled expensive coffee and wood smoke from the fireplace in the geezer section. Kate's tennis shoes squeaked her across the shined hardwood floor. The rest of the quixotic quad began to move books and bags and coffee and croissants out of the way, clearing a space. Kate sipped from someone's coffee, then gave it back. "I socked a cop," she said.
The three stared at her with wry smiles, waiting for the punchline. But Kate lowered her head and shoulders, looked around the table like a conniving blackjack dealer, and hissed, "I'm serious. I hit a policeman, too, just now, more than once." She looked at her hands, then back at the door. "Why?" asked one of the quad. Someone dabbed Kate's lip with a napkin. Another grabbed Kate's hands from across the little round table. She held them by the thumbs, palms down. "My God!" The three stared in horror at Kate's ragged knuckles. Kate found another napkin, rubbed her hands, wiping, applying direct pressure under the table. "Why?" a friend asked. "At the parade," said Kate. "Where were you?" She darted looks around. "Well, I had karate class, of course. And where were you?" Nobody calls. Just woke up. I worked last night. You were supposed to meet me. What happened? You go to jail? No, said Jake, casting a glance at the door.
She grabbed a red drink from the middle of the table and slurped long from the straw. Not yet, Kate smiled, then drank again. Shh, they all hissed, leaning toward her. Kate noticed a woman up in the coffee bar with the TV behind her shoulder, looking at her with a cell phone pressed into her ear. The woman looked away toward the TV. Kate sat straight, pushed her cap up, then looked around the table again. We were going to tell them about 9/11, she said. Shh, they said. They looked down, away, drank from their coffee and coke. The flight controllers lost 175 for an instant. They switched the old plane. The passengers went somewhere. The new plane was a drone remote control in Building 7. We know, Kate. Shh. I can't believe you, said Kate. You know what they did.
A friend took Kate's arm. We all know what they did to you, your family. Maybe this is all about that. She looked around to the others. Kate snatched her arm away. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw a cell phone woman again looking her way. She looked at her friends with her mouth wrenched, hate in her eyes, shooting lasers. They had no idea, no guts. After all the late night talks, what they really wanted was talk. To save themselves, and someday they'd be sitting in the liberal bookstore in the university district, drinking mocha doca loca, dialing the police. Cold from the open front door grabbed Kate by the shoulder and turned her around. The policeman and woman she'd fought on the TV stood in the front doorway by the new nonfiction carousel. Each held a revolver in one hand, a short black bat in the other, dangling. The woman tapped her leg with the bat as she surveyed the room. The man touched a fat lip with the barrel of his gun.
Kate turned back to her friends. Don't look, talk, she said. Is that them? The police officers you attacked? Kate shot green all around that said plainly she did not attack any police officers. One of the young women in the group tried teamly to make this work. Well, what about this coffee? Good, huh? The others looked at her to dismiss her and then back to Kate and over her square shoulders at the police and behind them in the parking lot, flashing lights and the glint of more guns and badges. They were right, Kate thought. It was about her parents. She wanted revenge, and she had gotten a salty taste by smashing that woman's head into the bricks and her fists into her partner's teeth. It was all connected. Her parents, 9/11, RFK, and not by a memo, a confession tape, a bloody shoe print, but by fabric, inertia, membranes, momentum. They will kill me now, she thought, looking at the terrified eyes of her friends up at cell phone bitch, now drinking and enjoying her conversation with her friend across the table. Kate shoved her chair backward away from the table. She slapped her hands flat on her legs and pushed to stand. The bookstore background music switched to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. She looked each of her friends in the eyes, then turned to face the music. Keeping watch on the two cops, Kate moved her chair out of the way with a red tennis shoe. It squeaked. Kate stood straight, still her eyes locked on them, swinging their guns and batons. She smiled at them. She turned away. She tugged on the table, trying to pick it up. She imagined hurling the table at the charging man and woman. With one arm, she swiped all the books and drinks and papers and bags from the table. She picked it up and threw it like a toy at the charging police. It knocked them to the floor, to their backs, hitting their heads on the shiny hardwood, sending their guns and badges and batons clattering, spinning away. Kate reached for her guitar case. Adios, amigas, she smiled. She leaped between the two cops, vaulting off the table, flying through the air, Kate flying. She hit the floor running.
Kate looked around the table at her friends with shocked looks on their faces. One of the duties of the revolutionary, she whispered, is to get away with it. Like a professional hitman on just another day at the job, she picked up her guitar case and walked into history. Turned left at Biography and kept going straight through Discount Hardcover. Kate slowed at the glass door exit as a flood of officers tried to get through the entrance door at once. Kate King walked past the police officers in the cars, flashing lights and SUVs covering the parking lot. She moved away from the squawking radios. She waited at the light on the corner, holding her guitar tip. On green, she adjusted her cap down and crossed the wide avenue into the night.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO Valentine's Day mind control chocolate candies are about average.
And that's it for this week's New American Dream Radio Show. We thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll come back same time, same place next week. Stay tuned for Black Op Radio with our very own producer, Lena Sanek. We always have something good coming to you after our show. Thanks to our trio of sponsors, James Boomy, the author of June 2508, worldnewstrust.com, and spiritualun.org. Thanks, Mike, and good night.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm down there. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.